two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why, hello there. It's your old pal, Sarah Silverman, and I'm back with a brand new season of the Sarah Silverman Podcast. On my podcast, I am talking about everything. Politics? Yeah, we get into it. Favorite sandwich shop in L.A.? I know a few spots, and I'm going to tell you about them. I'm also going to be talking to you. I will be reacting and responding to listener voicemails in real time. Let me tell you, things can get weird, and I love every second of it. Weird is my comfort zone. The newest season of the Sarah Silverman Podcast is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Lemonada.
Everybody expects for me to be great. They expect for me to go big, on the first few minutes of screen time big, like the parents of a grad student fresh out of grad school. Great. Great like good old Italian pasta, great. Or Mexican chile rellenos, great. Puerto Rican empanadas, great. It's scary when people think of you being great. The thought of what if I don't make it, great. The fear is what holds me from being great. I am great. I was born to be great. The man and woman who made me are great. I am great. I am great.
I'm Walter Thompson Hernandez, and this is Written Off. You just heard award-winning performer John Legend read a piece by Jimmy Valdez. Jimmy walked into the IOW headquarters beaming, dapped up a producer, cheesing ear to ear, even dripping a little bit with a really nice watch, a long gold chain and gold-rimmed glasses. He shines. He has an enormous spirit. And your eye can't help but go straight to the gold ring on his right pinky finger, something he bought himself as a gift to celebrate how far he's come. Jim is an artist in his own right. I mean, the dude writes and sings Mexican corridos under the name El Artista. His new EP is out now too, which features a song called El Pistolero. He wrote the treatment for and directed the music video for that song, and it's already racked up tens of thousands of views on YouTube. But while music definitely seems to be a passion project for him, it was born from his first attempts at writing, which we talked about a bit during our sit-down conversation, where it genuinely felt like we've known each other for years. Jimmy was blown away when he heard John Legend recite his piece. Here's Jimmy.
Wow, bro, what a trip, man. It's crazy how... Yeah, that is really interesting to me. I've never really heard somebody else recite my stuff, you know? Wow.
What is it about hearing it?
I think it's just the way he embodied what I was trying to say or what I said and the way he delivered it. And just hearing something that I wrote a while back being read by somebody who, you know, obviously has a roster or somebody like his name and... More than anything, just really feeling the words, you know, what he was saying. I felt that part of how everybody expects you to be great on the first time of screen, great. Like, it's been a journey, honestly, to get to right now. I was just mentioning earlier, I barely became SAG. And, you know, my wife and I were, I booked this gig and I got a check recently. And my wife was like, wow, she's like, that's what they paid you for one day. And, she was like, remember again, like those little $150 and, you know, and she's like, I can't believe it. So anyways, my point is that it's been a journey, and not just financially, you know, but emotionally, and also too with friends and family. And it hasn't been easy, you know. Of course, like anybody else can relate with certain things when you're trying to accomplish something in life. So that part just really hit me, you know. So I think it's kind of like looking at both sides of the coin at this point. Like, wow, just hearing him read.
Yeah. Yep. And I guess, like, I want to know, how do you define great, right? Like, what does great mean to you?
Yeah, I think a definition of it now probably is a little bit different than what I was thinking a couple years back. I think great is, like, I'm a father now, you know. Being great is just being great inside for me, you know, mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. To me, that's great. To me, being happy is great versus the exterior of expectations of other people and what they, you know, expect of me. So I think inner self is great.
When you wrote this, what were you going through? What were you experiencing? What was Jimmy like then?
I think the facade of, you know, I'm booking a couple like background things and I'm doing a couple things here and there and people are like, oh, treating me a little bit different. And it's just kind of like, I'm not, it's the facade, you know? And the struggle of like, maybe this is fake. Maybe this is not me. Maybe this is not meant to be me. That kind of struggle, pushing through it and finally coming to a point where it's like, nah, this is me. I'm just working towards it.
Who is I Am Great for?
Yeah, I think I was writing that for everybody else who was like, who had these expectations on me. I think it was kind of like a throwing it back at them, you know, like to understand me. I think that's what it was. And again, true too, you know, they say poetry, a lot of times writing is not just for the audience, but for the writer. So it was for me too.
And so your experience as a writer, how'd that start?
It started in the juvenile halls in 2006. My roommate at that time, Leonardo Silva, who's been down for, I think, like 15 years now. Leonardo introduced me to Inside Out Writers. And one day we were like, I felt like I needed to talk to somebody about what I was going through. But, you know, in there is like baby bulls and baby lions. And don't nobody want to say like, Hey, Leo, hey, man, I'm kind of emotional today, bro. I want to talk to you about my emotions. You know, nobody wants to talk about their emotions.
And is there a reason for that, though?
Yeah, because everybody wants to keep that, like, you know, that tough kind of guy kind of, you know, facade. And I wrote about my crime. And I read it to him. And he was just there, stuck on it, like, you know, going back and forth, reading a couple lines, going back and forth. And he turns, and when I finish, he looks at me, and he was like, "And what happened next?" And I'm like, well, I'm here. I'm locked up with you, bro. Like, that's what happened next, you know? And he's like, yo, there's this program called Inside Out Writers. He was like, it's every weekend. He's like, instead of going to the day room, you can come to the other room. He's like, and we'll write. She was like, Miss Susan Cuscuna is the teacher. She brings cupcakes and cookies, bro. Like, you're gonna love it, you know? So he got me. We went in, and that's how I started writing. And I just, like, fell in love. And I, you know, and now I'm here.
Mm-hmm. So, like, a big motivation was to write, but also the, like, cupcakes and cookies, right?
Right, for sure. For sure, yeah. You wanted to, you know, show up every Saturday and get cookies and, you know. And Miss Susan is an amazing teacher, an amazing woman. She's very, like, loving, you know. And allowed me to express myself. You know, I said, hey, can I write about anything? She's like, sure, honey, you can write about whatever you want. Just as long as you're not trying to hurt yourself, you can write about whatever you want. And that just allowed me to really express everything that I was going through.
So before that, your idea of what a writer was it something that, like, seemed really unattainable? Something that was, like, you know, because I think a lot of us grow up with this idea of what a writer is, right? And what a writer can look like. And I think oftentimes it's hard to see ourselves as that. But, was that your experience as well growing up?
I mean, I think, like, I just didn't even have an idea that a writer existed. I had no idea that writing was probably even a thing at that time, to be honest, until I was introduced to ILW.
Think back to that moment with your cellmate, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's, like, a really powerful moment. what if he would have maybe responded to your writing in a different way?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And like not supported you, not asked you like what came next, but was like, oh, this is whack, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, something like that. Mm-hmm. Like I'm curious, like,
wow,
that seems like such a special moment. And, you know, he's a great friend because of that.
For sure. Shout out to him. It's crazy because, well, one, if he would have responded probably negative, we probably would have been fighting in the cell or something. But, you know, big shout out to Leonardo. It's crazy. Years later, we reconnected. He randomly called me. I was in Ensenada working on some other projects that I was working on. And he's like, hey, man, are you Jimmy Valdez? I was like, yeah, bro. He got in touch with me. We talked and I was like, yo, Leo. He's like, you remember? I was like, yeah, I remember you, bro. What do you mean? He was like, you know, we were talking and he was like, hey, man, I just wanted to tell you. He had an accident while being inside. He got injured multiple times and he survived. He said that the only thing that really helped him get through was the writing and the music. And the music was something that I had introduced to him, how he introduced writing to me. And then that's how I started writing music in there. But he said, I never thought about singing to you because, you know, you used to wake up singing, you used to go to sleep singing. He's like, you would always sing to everybody in here. He's like, and honestly, through that pain, when I was in that puddle of blood, he's like, the only thing that really got me through this intense moment was music, was singing. So we reconnected and I was not doing the music. I wasn't doing the music up to like 2 years ago. It's something I always wanted to do. Along with the writing, stuff that I had already written.
What kind of music?
Corridos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, corridos. I didn't want to do it because I had my reasons of, I don't want to go back into that world of drinking and doing that. So I'm 6 years sober, by the way, now. I said, you know what? I think I'm ready. So I did it. I put it out on my social media and got good response. And he had told me like, hey, bro, I've been writing music this whole time I've been here. I was like, well, let me see what you got. And hearing his stuff, I was like, okay, this is good stuff. So I told him about one song in particular. And then he kind of kept on like pushing. He's like, why are you not doing the music, bro? Yeah, you know, whatever. So one day he calls and I was like, hey, bro, what's that song you were telling me about the guy, this and this and that? He's like, oh, and he started singing it. I was like, yeah, that one. And it's funny because I was like, yo, what's next? He's like, I haven't finished it yet. He's like, finish it. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna finish it. I wanna record it. And I did. I recorded it, made a music video to it, put it, got a good amount of 1,000 views, and the response was good. And that just gave me energy to keep doing that now. So we've been actually in touch now, going back and forth, working on stuff, and you know, he's still around and I'm grateful and hopefully he comes home sometime soon now.
So you started writing corridos when you were locked up?
My first song I wrote was Inside.
Interesting.
Yep. It was about my godfather being murdered in Culiacán, Sinaloa.
Because that's kind of like the same way that like a Chalino Sanchez, right, like learns how to write in prison when he's locked up, right?
It's crazy that you know about that, man. I got booked on Amazon for Amazon Latin Music. I got booked to play Chalino, which was crazy, man. Because when I put my stuff on social media, people are like, yo, his voice reminds me of Chalino. His voice reminds me of Valentin. Like, his voice reminds me of, like, these old kind of guys from back in the days. And I got booked to play Chalino. And the day we were filming this Chalino thing, which was, it wasn't for him. It was for another kid named Nathanael Cano, right?
I know Nata, yeah.
So it was for Nata, but Chalino was one of the roles that plays in the story. So I got booked along with my truck and... because they played the whole Chalino look. And I was like, you know what? The universe is fucking talking to me, bro. Like, I swear it's talking to me. I go and I look. I'm like, you know what? Let me see. When was Chalino's birthday or death? And the day that we recorded that stuff, his birthday.
In August, right?
It was on his birthday. And nobody else knew but me. So, yeah, man, it's crazy how these stories correlate, right? I don't know what it is yet, but I just know that at this moment, I'm just really trying to take ownership of that.
My first story as a journalist was about Chalino, actually.
Wow.
And about, like, the connection between Chalino and NWA and how both of them sort of, you know, come up at the same time in the same place.
I'm telling you, man, look at this.
More with Jimmy Valdez after this.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. And of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
People love to pretend that there are simple formulas for living your best life now. Eat this and you won't get sick. Manifest it and everything will work out. But there are some things you can choose and some things you can't. And it's okay that life isn't always getting better. I'm Kate Bowler, and on Everything Happens, I speak with kind, smart, funny people about life as it really is. Beautiful, terrible, and everything in between. Let's be human together. Everything Happens is available wherever you get your podcasts.
What has writing taught you?
Well, first, writing taught me a lot about myself, right? To kind of just like break down certain things that I'm dealing with. Emotions, I'm able to like kind of like, you know, at first just like look at them closer. So at first it taught me a lot about myself. Then it also taught me that there's different avenues with like writing, bro. Like I never thought I'd be like writing music video treatments, you know, like songs, journaling. Like I didn't think like writing could just, poetry. There was just so much with writing. Your goals, you know what I'm saying? So it taught me a lot of those things, that there's different avenues.
What does writing do for you?
Writing is therapy for me. It's also like a guide for me now when I'm trying to accomplish any goals. So it's a map. But yeah, writing for me now is also to like just creating, giving life. You know, now I see these like videos and I'm like, damn, bro, like that was in my head like for 6 months and now we have it here. So it's like enjoyment.
What's your writing process?
Damn, that's a really good question. I think one of my favorite things is the writing process. It's like a feeling, right? Like a feeling that you get where you're like, okay, I'm ready to just let it all out. I think my writing process is first the conversation about what it is that I'm going to be looking at. Second, just kind of jot down some ideas, all the ideas that are just mixed all over the place, put them into paper. What's that thing they used to do in school? They put a bubble in the middle and then you put like all these hands on it, like brainstorming. Yeah, like on paper, brainstorming, looking at that. Then for me, I like to do a free speech of what it is that I'm writing and hear it out loud or play it out loud. And then come back, I do recordings of it. And then finally, I just like listen to all of that, put it all together and then just write it. I think that's one of them.
I'm also wondering if fatherhood has changed your writing or has impacted your writing in any way.
Right. I was very aware when I was going to become a father that I'm going to be a father but not become a father, if that makes sense. Because I think that like a lot of the times when we have kids, being young, I guess, you know, you're kind of like, oh, well, life happens. And I was aware of that. I'm like, nah, if anything, I'm going to be more motivated to go after what I want. And keep who I am here and be a father, but still be here strong in what I'm doing artistically and not let that kind of like maneuver my way into like dad jokes and like stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I wanted to keep that alive. It hasn't, but it has motivated me to grow more and do more. But yeah, I told that to my wife too. Like, just, you know, we don't have to let ourselves go. Still keep your gym routine, still keep your meditation, whatever you're doing artistically, like stay on top of that, because we have a baby. We shouldn't change where we're trying to go, you know?
How often, if at all, do you think about 15-year-old Jimmy?
A lot. Yeah. Yeah, a lot. I used to think a lot. My wife would tell me like, hey, you know, you always refer back to your, you know, 17 when you were locked up and going back to that. And I think that now, right at this point, I'm making a kind of like a closing that a little bit without closing it, you know, because I'm always have to go back to it. but kind of just really focus into what's happening now. And the reason why I would always go back is because it was such an impactful moment of my life. Like being in a cell for 22 hours and coming out 2 hours, those moments were very tough for me. My godfather, you know, being murdered, like all those things are just like moments. But I felt that it's like those crashing cars, you know, like those bumper cars. And those moments would just happen in my head. And they were just doing this and that and this and that. And I'm like, it doesn't serve purpose. So I need to like shut that and focus on what's now and let's go, you know? Because if not, I feel like I'm still struggling with my youth and with where I'm at right now. I think that if my role models would have been there, and my brother was in prison, my dad kind of, he had to, was forced to take another route. I think if my role models were there to push me to say, hey, nope, you're not going to be in that corner with those guys. You're going to go box. You're going to go right. You're going to go this. I think yes. I think if that would have happened, then it could have been a different route. But I kind of didn't have nobody yanking me. So if I did have that, yes, I think it could have went another way.
We'll have more written off after the break.
Hi, I'm June Diane Raphael.
And I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And we would like to invite you on a hilarious and heartfelt journey each week on The Deep Dive. From navigating the chaos of motherhood and family to exploring the depths of grief and loss, we are just two best friends who process life together and with you guys. Discover our secrets to finding joy amidst the madness and get ready for unfiltered conversations about life, love, and everything in between. And nails. We talk a lot about nails. Now, community is everything to us at The Deep Dive. We believe in the power of connection and the strength that comes from supporting one another, and we would love to have you with us.
So be sure to join us every Wednesday on The Deep Dive from Lemonada Media, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Dough, where cash is queen and we hardly know her, but we're still here figuring her out together because, y'all, season two is here. Hosted every week by me, X-Maya. Remember me? I'm going to be talking to all types of people about their relationship to money. I'm talking to reality stars, entrepreneurs, financial experts, and even some of my own friends. Basically, anyone who will get real with me about their dollars, how they make money, how they spend it, and how they save it, because I'm trying to retire early, people. Season two of The Dough is out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
For your child, is writing something that
huge
you hope to pass down?
Yeah, art, everything, man. Like, he picks up the mic now. He picks up the guitar, starts playing. He puts on a hat. He puts on the boots. Like, so it's cool that he sees that. He's already picking it up. And my wife, she's getting her master's in family therapy. So she does a lot of, like, art therapy and stuff like that with kids. So she's introducing a lot of the arts to him. And it's 100%, you know, just being there to support whatever avenue and just like keep them focused in sports, keep them focused in the arts. And I think that that's very, very, very powerful, you know, because we are responsible for his environment and for what he does and stuff like that. Yeah.
Just kind of describe yourself outside of writing. And I know it's kind of hard to do because writing is so intertwined with who you are, but like, what is Jimmy doing? What are you watching? What are you listening to? Like, how are you spending your free time? Things like that.
For sure. Well, I definitely listen to corridos, for sure, 100%. I love corridos. I love Spanish music. Love a lot of the new and old Spanish music.
Any names, songs?
Chalino, 100% all the time. Banda El Recodo, Nipsey Hussle, Celia Cruz, Juan Sebastian, you know, people like that I listen to. And then what am I watching? I don't even have a TV at home. We'll probably get a projector to watch movies, but I don't spend my time watching anything because I'm always working. But I'll watch movies from time to time. A lot of my time, like free time, I love to go to Griffith Park. There's a spot called Trails Cafe. right across the street, there's an entrance to go up the hiking trail, but there's this really cool big park for kids. So I take my son there, and I love going there. Like, we go on small hikes and stuff like that and play with them. Free time, for sure. Like, I spend recording this new place my wife and I got. We have a studio, so now I bring somebody in to set up the whole equipment and everything, and we're recording. So I spend my free time doing that. Buying new wardrobe to go do new photo shoots or content, like any videos, anything that I need to catch up with to continue to feed my social media. So a lot of my free time is on that. Of course, the gym. Outside of that, when I am busy, what I'm doing right now is I manage security guards on movie sets or commercials or music videos. And within that realm now that I'm very well familiar with, I am also picking up other jobs on set with production. So I'm doing that while I'm pursuing my career as an actor and a musician. And then when I do have moments, then we'll audition and stuff like that in hopes that we continue to book stuff. And rehearsing, singing as much as I can. At this time, right now, I just feel like I am living a monastic way, and I'm just kind of like, it's just building in that order, you know, free time, work, investing, work, build, you know, taking care of myself, family. So I think I'm in a moment where I'm just like, I found a routine that's pretty much what my life is revolved around right now, and just building and creating.
That's great, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, bro. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to Jimmy Valdez, whose debut EP is out now wherever you stream music. You can also visit his self-titled YouTube page or catch him on Instagram at It's Jimmy Valdez. The dude's also on TikTok at @_L_Artista_. Moved by what you heard today? Want to do more? Follow and support Inside Out Writers Workshop at insideoutwriters.org and click on Ways to Give. To get involved personally in the work to end mass incarceration in California, check out the work of ARC, the Anti-Recidivism Coalition, at ANTIRECIDIVISM.com. Next week on Written Off, writer Yanni Bridges.
She captured it perfectly. Maybe even better than I could have read it out. It's so personal and it's so deep, and it was such a difficult moment that it's still just even hearing it, it's like, dang, you know. But she did an incredible job with it.
Written Off is a co-production of Lemonada Media and Black Bar Mitzvah. Our producer is Claire Jones. Supervising producers are Jorge Olivares and Chrissy Pease. Executive producers are Aaron Bergman, Jay Ellis, Jessica Cordova Kramer, and Stephanie Whittles Wax. Music and sound design by Xander Singh. Mix and scoring by Matthew Simonson. Special thanks to all of our contributors and Inside Out Writers. You can learn more about them at insideoutwriters.org. If you like what you heard, help others find us by rating the show and writing a review. Follow us at Lemonada Media across all social platforms. To support Written Off and gain access to exclusive bonus material like additional conversations with the writers and producers of this show, subscribe to Lemonada Premium, only on Apple Podcasts. And for more of my work, visit my website, WTHDZ.com. I'm Walter Thompson Hernandez. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere, and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time? Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people, and we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out on April 24th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Feeling decision fatigue about what to make for dinner? We get it. I'm Jane Black.
And I'm Liz Dunn. We're veteran food journalists, and as parents ourselves, we know how hard it can be to feed your family.
That's why we created Pressure Cooker, a podcast that offers practical strategies for navigating the marketing madness and cultural expectations around mealtime.
Each week, we'll check in with the experts. From social media diet trends to baby-led weaning and AI meal planning, we have all your food-related questions covered.
Listen to Pressure Cooker wherever you get your podcasts.